Hello and welcome to Journal of a Medical Intuitive. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest, and this is episode 27, all about my journey as a teacher of healing and psychic arts. I thought I should share a little bit about what it's been like for me and how I have figured out what to teach and when to teach it over the years. I started out as a medical intuitive, and over the years, I then became a teacher of everything that I do. And a lot of times I get asked about this journey. How did I come to start teaching? Why do I teach the way that I do? And I think this is particularly relevant right now because I'm in the middle of a pivot. You know, for many years, I was seeing clients every day. I was seeing clients all over Southern and Northern California. I was seeing clients all over the world via Zoom. And that was the main work that I was doing, was seeing medical intuitive clients. Later, I expanded that to include Akashic Records clients because people were coming to me for life purpose scans. I was also doing in-person energy healing and Reiki. And I was also occasionally doing mediumship, but I only did mediumship for traumatic death. And so I was seeing clients all over the world. The bulk of my clients either had a medical mystery that they wanted help with or wanted help in getting clarity on their life purpose. But a couple of years ago, I had a major pivot, and as a result, I am now focusing all of my attention on writing books and teaching what I do. And it was hard to give up my clients, and I keep hoping I'll return to them. I have a 400-person waiting list, and I finally closed the waiting list because I felt that I shouldn't build it up any more than I already have. But I'm hoping that at some point this sabbatical will be over and I'll be able to return to seeing my clients. But my guides wanted me to stop seeing clients because they wanted me to shift my focus. And what they told me was that they needed me to focus on global work, that all the work I was doing with individuals was very helpful to those individuals, but I wasn't impacting enough people, even though I was seeing clients all day, every day. And they said also the classes I was teaching, I wasn't impacting enough people. And they wanted me to impact more people. They want me to have a global reach. And so that's why there's been a push for me to get my books published. And also, after a couple of years of just focusing on my books, my guide said that it's okay for me to teach as long as I do so on a global platform in such a way where I can reach large numbers of people and preferably people all over the world, not just in one location. And so currently, I just finished a second book. The first book was The Ethical Psychic. The second book is called Sovereign Wisdom, and it's coming out this spring on Peter Lang. The first book, Ethical Psychic, is available everywhere. And my third book is called Medical Mystic, and I'm about halfway through that. And so I'm working on these books, and at the same time, I'm teaching. And currently, I'm teaching on the Shift Network, and I'm also teaching courses on my website. And so that's part of the story. I'm in a pivot, and that's part of why I'm focusing on teaching. But I wanted in this podcast to talk more about my journey as a teacher and why I teach what I do. So I started out, just practicing medical intuition and seeing lots of clients. But, I have a background as a teacher. So I used to be a professor. I was a philosophy professor for many years. For 10 years, I worked at two different universities, and I also got tenure. But I left academia for a couple of reasons. One, I was, the environment was very toxic for me as a woman of color, and I was dealing with a lot of racism and sexism, and I even dealt with police brutality at my university, at the University of Central Florida in Orlando. But I also had been spending 5 years while I was in Florida. While I was a professor by day, I was a psychic by night. And so I was taking all of these classes in psychic development, mediumship, spiritual healing, Reiki, channeling. And I was working on developing and honing my gifts for many years while I was a professor by day. And I kind of kept that part of my life quiet because academia is just incredibly closed-minded when it comes to anything related to the intuitive arts. And it kind of shocked me, that aspect of academia, because, you know, when I was younger, I thought of academia as this, like, beloved community of intellectuals that were dedicated to open inquiry and question asking and critique and debate, right? And I was really disappointed to discover that that really isn't the case about academia. There is a lot of closed-mindedness in the academy. And there are certain subjects which are just taboo, which people just will not engage in conversations about, and which they dismiss without inquiry. And psychic and intuitive arts is one of those fields where the academy just won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And so I kept that part of my life quiet because I knew that it would diminish my reputation in the academy. And of course, when I left the academy and started doing this work, it did diminish my reputation. There are all these people out there who thought I was a great philosopher and who had a lot of respect for me. And then when they find out that I left philosophy and now I'm doing this crazy woo-woo stuff, they're like, oh, she's lost her mind. Oh, well, she used to be a talented intellectual, but now she's clearly become completely irrational, because how could she be doing psychic stuff? I mean, that's so crazy. And it's really unfortunate, though. It's unfortunate that we have this kind of bifurcation of knowledge where you have some people who are dedicated to critical rigor, but who are only able to dedicate themselves to critical rigor with regard to certain subjects that are considered acceptable. And then you have this other group of people, these intuitives and healers out here, who are, you know, following intuitive sources of knowledge, but not necessarily interested in you know, repeatability or analysis, logic, critical rigor, right? And so you have these two extremes, I feel like in the psychic healing world, there are a lot of people who don't necessarily have standards for their work, who just hang a shingle and say that they're a psychic or a healer, and, you know, they could be making it up, they could just not be very good at it. And we don't have, like, credentialing in place, we don't have standards, we don't have, you know, licensing boards, we don't have accredited schools to train people in psychic and healing work. And I think we should have those. But it's kind of hard for us to do that when we're dealing with a really hostile academic environment, right? So whenever, you know, it's interesting that whenever there has been kind of a research center dedicated to studying psychic phenomena, it always shuts down. And at least in the United States, you know, now there are some centers studying psychic work that are in other countries where they have academics, they have people who are using, like, scientific method and who are using an analytical rigor to discuss and analyze psychic gifts. But we don't really have that in the United States. We don't have a lot of that in general worldwide. There are places where it's being done. In Peru, they actually have programs where traditional healers work with doctors. You have the same thing happening in South Africa, from what I've heard. There is a real respect for traditional healing, and there's a way in which, you know, there's some integration happening. And we see this in certain countries, right? And if you're from a country like this, you know, please put a comment below the podcast about your country and how intuitive forms of healing are, you know, taken seriously in your country by people who are academics or educated or licensed in something. And I think this is a real problem, you know. So I did leave the academy. I still publish philosophy. My most recent book is an academic book in philosophy. I'm still a philosopher, but I found it discouraging that I felt the need to live two separate lives, that I had to either be a professional philosopher who was respected and who could publish and teach classes at the university and be in a tenure track, or I could be a professional psychic, healer, medical intuitive, right? It was either or. And I don't think it should be that way. And so one of the things that I'm doing is I'm working on the creation of my own school called Metatron's Academy of Spirit and Science. And I've been working on this for many years. And because I have this idea that we could have a school, a college, a university that includes both intuitive and rational sources of knowledge. We could have rigor. We could have standards. We can have a program that people have to go through and get tested and evaluated, and where there's peer review. You know, we could have some of those really, really nice elements from the academy, but then we can combine them with elements from, you know, indigenous education, indigenous pedagogy, from traditional ways of learning how to be a medicine person, how to be a medical intuitive, how to be a medium, how to be an intuitive. But that we could combine those two worlds in one place. But back to my story about my journey. So I had this journey where I was a professional academic. I was a professor. And then I left that and became a full-time medical intuitive and then began to teach what I do. And so, of course, I brought from my background a lot of my teaching experience and my pedagogy from the academy. But I didn't just bring that. I also brought what I had learned from my teachers. And so my background, as many of you already know, is a mixture, right? I have all of these degrees, right, from traditional academic world. So I have a bachelor's in physics. I have a master's degree in history. I did a PhD in ethnic studies and philosophy, where I did a dissertation on indigenous philosophies. I did a postdoc in feminist philosophy of science. I then got a tenure track position in philosophy and later went on to a different university to get another tenure track position in philosophy, where I then got tenure. So that's my kind of academic training, right? I had all of those courses, all of those degrees. But then at the same time, I was also getting a traditional education. And so when I was very young, I had a great-grandmother who was teaching me about herbs and medicine. I had my mother, who was a psychic, who was teaching me about, you know, how to read cards. And I had a teacher who taught me Reiki. I had a teacher who taught me how to become a Native American sweat lodge firekeeper. So I had that training. I had a teacher in Jamaica. I had several teachers in Jamaica who taught me about spiritual healing and herbs and just different types of medicine and how to read people, how to run ceremony. I had teachers in Trinidad. And so I had a mixture of teachers, right? I had teachers who were more kind of Western and academic. And then I had teachers who were, really immersed in indigenous ways of teaching. And so when I became a teacher of healing and psychic arts, you know, I brought both of these pedagogies to my work. And I started to teach psychic development first. And so I was teaching a class for many years that I called Develop Your Sixth Sense to Shift Your Consciousness. And, you know, it was a really long title, which over the years I eventually shortened to Conscious Psychic. But the reason I had that really long title is because I was so concerned that I would be teaching not just how to develop your gifts, but how to be you know, a conscious, ethical practitioner. And that was because that's what I was taught by my more traditional teachers. So, you know, when you get taught in, you know, college, you know, in academia, you're just taught information, right? But when you learn things in a lot of, like, people of color or indigenous contexts, there's always an ethics included. It's never just about, here's this knowledge. It's always, here's this knowledge, and here's what kind of person you need to be to use this knowledge, and here's how you should help people with this knowledge, and here's how you should interact with your community with this knowledge, right? It's a different education. And so I was very concerned that if I'm going to teach psychic development, I want to teach it to people who are interested in being, ethical people. And I want to teach it to people who aren't just interested in learning psychic development because they just want to know how to do cool stuff, or because they want to have power over people or impress people or make money, right? I wanted to teach people who had other aspirations, who were interested in growing their soul, in developing their consciousness and ascending, right? And I did attract, I thought, an interesting cross-section of students over the years. Many of my students were educated, which was interesting, and it may be because I'm educated that people who are educated and want to learn this stuff maybe feel more comfortable with a teacher who's also got a high level of education. I don't know, but I did have a lot of educated students. I had very diverse cross-section of students. I never had, mostly students from one ethnic group. I never had only women, like a lot of psychic teachers say they only have women teachers. I always had, male students. I always had students of every background, and I always had students of different age groups. So I always had students who were in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I even had some students in their 70s. You know, I had every age group. And my real focus as a teacher when I first started out was, how can I help people to remember who they really are? And so, I have a purpose. We all have a purpose, right? And my purpose informs everything that I do. And so my work as, a medical intuitive was to help people to return to who they really were, to recover from these mystery ailments, to understand why they were experiencing them, to get whatever the lesson was that ailment brought to their life. And all of those things really were helping them to remember who they really were and what their purpose was and why they incarnated. And the same was true with the work I did with Life Purpose, helping people to remember who they really are. And so my teaching is the same way. I wanted my students to get clarity on who they were, why they incarnated, what their gifts were, and how to use those gifts to be of service. And so in that class that I taught every Wednesday night in Long Beach, California, I would gather with, it was never a big group, 10 to 15 students, and we'd gather in a circle, and I would have a little lecture each week on a different topic, a different type of psychic gift, a different consciousness topic. And then I'd have them break up and pair up and do exercises for about an hour, and then we would, we'd come together and we'd talk about the experience. And it was a wonderful class because we also had tea and cookies at the beginning of class, so there was a lot of socializing. And people shared a lot about their journey, how they discovered their gifts. We had a check-in at the beginning of each class where people would talk about, what brought them to the class, if they were new, and if they weren't new, what happened this week? What psychic things happened that week in their life? That was the question for check-in every week. And so we created a nice little community where people had other intuitives they could talk to and feel comfortable with. And, what I tried to do was include, different aspects of the way that I had been trained, delivering the knowledge, and I had very structured lectures, I had handouts, I dispensed a lot of information, but I also made sure that everybody practiced. You learn by doing, so lots of practice. And then socializing, community, engagement, getting to know each other, sharing stories were all aspects of my course. And I taught that for many years. And over time, my students started asking me to teach what I did. They said, we want you to teach us medical intuition, you know. And a lot of my students had been to me, you know, as clients, and they knew about what I did. And so then I started teaching medical intuition. I started teaching everything that I did, you know. Actually, medical intuition, I think, was the last thing I taught. I started by, I did a mediumship class because some of my students were interested in that. I did a healing class. I was teaching for many years a class, Intuitive Healing Energetics, where I was teaching a type of energy healing that was a mixture of all of the types of healing that I had learned. So I started out learning spiritual healing from the spiritualists. That's not where I started. I started learning spiritual healing in Jamaica by the Pocomanians and the revivalists. And then I learned spiritual healing from the spiritualists in Florida. And then I learned Reiki. I also studied pranic healing. And I combined all of those different forms of healing. And then I also had a lot of experience in Native American ceremony. And so I also brought some of that in. And so I began teaching a course on healing. I also taught Reiki. And then eventually I taught medical intuition, based on everything that I had been doing. And I was really hesitant to teach medical intuition for a long time because I didn't learn medical intuition in a class. Back when I was developing as a medical intuitive, there weren't really any medical intuition classes that I could access because there just weren't as many medical intuitives back then. And, you know, programs really hadn't been developed yet. And I took a couple of classes with intuitives on medical intuition, like little workshops. And I just read every book I could find. But finally, I had to learn by forming my own group, where my teachers kept pushing me, saying, look, you're a medical intuitive. You need to develop this. It's a rare gift. And so I ended up forming a circle in my house with some of my teachers and one fellow student, and we started practicing medical intuition, where we would get the name of a friend of a friend. It was never anyone we knew, but we would ask people, if you know someone who needs help with a medical mystery, give us their name. And we didn't know anything else about them. It would just be somebody that we knew said, here's a name. And we would get a name on a piece of paper, and then we would sit in circle, and we would all tune in, and we would all do our own scanning, and then we would combine everything we got into one report. And I was, you know, the person that compiled the report. And so I did all the synthesizing of what everybody said. Then we would send the report out to people, and we would do a physical scan, an emotional scan, and a spiritual scan to find the causes of their symptoms. And now keep in mind, we didn't know their symptoms, right? We weren't told. We were just given a name. So, of course, we had to identify the symptoms, too. And we would do this, and then we would send the reports in the mail. Actually, we would send them to the person who gave us the name, and then that person would send them to the person, right? And then we would wait for our feedback. And that's how we practiced. And then I started doing that for friends and family, just tuning in, giving them information, and getting feedback. And over time, I began to work in churches, work for different, you know, psychic fairs, work in bookstores. And I spent many, many years kind of as an apprentice honing my gifts. And so when people were approaching me saying, oh, we want you to teach medical intuition, I was like, how am I going to do that? Like, no one taught me. I mean, yeah, I had spirit teachers. But what I meant is no physical human person sat me down and said, this is how you do medical intuition, right? I had all these teachers for many years who taught me lots of things, and all of that contributed to my development as a medical intuitive. And then I had spirit teachers who also taught me how to work as a medical intuitive. And then the rest of it, I just learned from practice, practice, practice. And so I had a hesitation for quite a while about, well, can I teach medical intuition? If I wasn't taught it in this like structured way, can I teach it? And eventually I relented and I started teaching it. And I only relented because my guides came to me and they said, the way that you're going to teach medical intuition is you're going to teach what you do. That's all you can do. You're going to teach what you do. You need to reflect on how you work, and then you need to turn that into a system. And so that's what I did. I spent the next several months after I was told that, you know, I'd be working, right? I'd be seeing clients throughout the week. And then I would stop and reflect, okay, how am I getting information? What's my procedure? And I started making notes. And I created what I call the VEST protocol. The VEST protocol for medical intuition. And that's just the protocol that I follow. And of course, it's the result of, you know, like I said, training by lots of different teachers and spirits and just practice, practice, practice. But I have a systematic type mind. You know, I have a background in science. I have a background in philosophy. And so, and I used to teach, you know, at the college level. And so when I started to develop my medical intuitive practice, I did it in a systemic way. I followed a certain protocol. And it wasn't until my guide said, look, just write down your protocol, write down what you're doing, reflect on it, and then teach it, that I became very conscious, like, oh, wow, I always do these steps. And so I started to write it down, reflect. And once I had fully developed the VEST protocol, I started to teach medical intuition. And so the VEST protocol is like an 11-step process where I teach people how to, you know, start with setting up sacred space, preparing yourself to read, going into a meditation, cleansing yourself, setting up your space for your client so that they're comfortable. And then, you know, the next step is like, how do you scan somebody? How do you clairvoyantly scan somebody as if you're an MRI? How do you find the problem areas? How do you zoom in clairvoyantly and see the problems to see where they are in the organs? How do you listen for information clairaudiently? How do you do an aura wrap? You know, I teach people how to do an aura wrap where you take your energy and you reach it over your client and you pull their symptoms into your body so you can feel them and get information that way. And then I teach another step of the protocol is how to talk to the organs, to have a telepathic conversation where you ask the organ, what's wrong? What do you need? What do you want? And so all of these different, you know, gifts that I use, you know, they're all steps in the protocol. And so I just made it really concrete and very simple and accessible, right? I created this protocol so that everybody could learn how to follow these steps and just keep practicing them, right? And then when you follow all of these steps and you draw upon so many gifts, you're bound to get some valuable information, because one of the strengths of the VEST protocol is that it uses all the gifts. And so, you know, one of my teachers, Maida Jones at Casadega Spiritualist Camp, one of the things that she used to say to us is, you know, everybody tends to over-rely on their strongest gift. And this is going to limit you in your development if you do this. And so she used to, you know, go around the room and say, okay, what's your strongest gift? And if you said, oh, I'm a really strong clairvoyant, she would say, okay, in today's exercises, you cannot use that gift at all. And she would make us use our weaker gifts. And I've always remembered that, and perhaps that's why the way that I work as a medical intuitive and the way that I teach medical intuition is that, you know, I use all the gifts. And so my VEST protocol relies on clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance, telepathy, and even another gift that I call resonance. It can also employ mediumship and visits to the Akashic Records if you want to look at spiritual causes of illness. And so I developed this, 11-step VEST protocol and started teaching that. And I had really great results, which surprised me because, like I said, I was like, can I teach this? Is this something that can be taught? Or is it something you just have to have a gift for? And the reason I wondered about that is because when I was taking classes in psychic development with other students, I was the only person in my classes who seemed to have a medical intuitive gift. That's what my teacher said. And so that made me wonder, is it really a rare gift that only some people have? But I think it was just at that time and where I was, that was the case. But it's not the case anymore. And also that was the case because there weren't teachers, right? So it's always going to be the case that some people are born with gifts that just kind of spontaneously develop. And other people are born with gifts, but they repress them or it takes them a while. They really need a good teacher to come along and really help them to draw that out. But also what's happening is we have this shift going on the planet, right? Where you can notice that there are more and more people manifesting psychic gifts each year. And there are more and more classes, and there are more and more, workshops and events, and there's more discussion, there's more acceptance. We're seeing studies come out saying that, most people believe in ghosts. Most people believe in alternative medicine. They don't just believe in one type of medicine. They believe in, energy medicine. They believe in all of these things that used to be considered, really out there. And so we can see that there's a shift in consciousness happening, right? People are becoming more aware of who they really are outside of their physical selves. And as a result, there's also just been an explosion of growth in the intuitive arts fields and in the production of literature. And so we have all these books out by medical intuitives. There are all these courses. There are all these courses now on Akashic Records, which did not used to be the case. there are all these books on Akashic Records. So we had this explosion, right, of interest and knowledge. And so as a result, there are a lot more people who have gifts that can be developed. And so I started teaching medical intuition, and I was very pleasantly surprised to see that my students were actually learning the VEST protocol, right? This wasn't anything that was unique to me. This was just something that I was given, and I was given it to teach others. And it just made me so happy because my students kept reporting, oh yeah, I can do this, the thing that you taught me. Oh, I can do this step two. Oh, I can do this. It's working, right? They would get into pair. They'd pair up and they would do the exercises. They would report back. Yeah, it worked. She was accurate. She picked up this thing. There's no way she could have known this, right? And it was really exciting. And so I taught that in person. No, I taught medical intuition online because I started teaching it during the pandemic. And so I had been teaching it in workshops for years where I would do like a 3-hour workshop. But it wasn't until the pandemic came along that I started teaching like these 4-week courses where I would do 5-hour classes every Sunday for a month. And so people had, 20 hours of instruction. And so we were doing this kind of intensive, and then I did a medical intuition 2 class, and which was even longer. And so I started doing that during the pandemic, and I taught that a number of times with great success. And it was very exciting to me. Now, after that, people started asking me to teach Akashic Records because the way I work as a medical intuitive, I started out working, psychically. Working with the clairs, right? Tuning into the other person's body, clairvoyantly picking up images of what's going on in their body, listening, clairsentiently feeling what's going on in their body, talking to their organs, right? But what I discovered over time was that while all the clairs could allow me access to their physical and emotional causes of illness, that if I wanted to tap into the spiritual causes of illness, I had to do that another way. And so there's a couple of ways that you can do that. If you are a medium, which is to say if you can perceive spirit, you can sometimes communicate with a spirit doctor or their guide or some ancestor of theirs and get information from them about this person's spiritual causes for the particular illness they're having, But I really found the most effective way to get spiritual causes was to go to the Akashic Records. And I actually didn't know what the Akashic Records was when I started out as a medical intuitive. I went to a psychic fair one day in Providence, Rhode Island, when I was living there about 13 years ago. And I went to this psychic fair, and there was someone there giving a Akashic Records reading. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what that is. I'll go get it. It was just like a mini reading, right? This is a psychic fair. It's not like a sit-down, hour-long thing. It was just, you know, pay your $20, get your little mini reading type thing. And I sit down, and she says all of these things, and it was really interesting. I wasn't sure she was that accurate, because she was saying things like, oh, you're going to be this healer, and you're going to be a teacher of teachers and a healer of healers, and you're going to teach healing to all these people, and you're going to write books. And, you know, I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. But some of the other stuff she said sounded kind of accurate. Of course, she ended up being accurate about everything, I now know. But at the time, I wasn't ready to hear that. But I thought it was fascinating. It was something different, right? But I wasn't, you know, like super over the moon about it. I was just like, oh, this is fascinating. It's interesting, something different. Well, then a couple years later, when I was practicing medical intuition, I was just kind of starting out as a, you know, professional. One day I just decided, you know, I think of it this way, right? I decided, but we all know it wasn't me deciding. It was some intuitive hit I got, right? That said, oh, you should get an Akashic Records reading. And so I went online to look for an Akashic Records reading. And I found this person, and I reached out to her, I don't know, via email or something, on her website. And I said, oh, I'd like to schedule a session. And she wrote back to me right away, which is odd, because, you know, most people are too busy for that. But this was all spirit-led. She writes back right away and says, oh, I'm on a sabbatical right now. I'm not seeing clients. However, you don't need my help. You can do your own. You can access your own Akashic Records. Just use this meditation. And she sends me just like some words. So it wasn't like a CD or a meditation you could listen to. It was just like a typed up meditation. Like, and so I'm like, okay, let me see what I can do with this. And so I started just reading it out loud to myself. No music, no... Right? I'm just reading this thing. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, and go within or whatever. And I'm reading it, and then I'm like one eye open, reading it, and then closing my eyes, trying to meditate, and then open my eyes, try to read the next line, and then close my eyes. Right? Not the best way to meditate, but it worked. About three sentences in, I was in this beautiful library, and it was a library I had been visiting my entire life. And I never knew it had a name. I just thought it was my library. And that's how I found out that my library is called the Akashic Records. And so after I had that kind of awakening, I started to go there. And in the context of my medical intuitive readings, I started to spend part of the session going to the Akashic Records where it was relevant. So a lot of people with illnesses, they only have physical causes or emotional causes or physical and emotional causes. But every once in a while, you have somebody whose ailment has a spiritual cause. And so whenever I had a person like that, I would end up going to the Akashic Records and asking, going to their pre-life conference, where they're sitting on a cloud with their guides planning this life. And I would sit down in this meeting and find out, Why was this illness a part of this life? What was the purpose of this illness? What were they meant to learn from it? How did it relate to their purpose or their gifts or their lessons? And then I would bring that information, you know, I would give that information to the client. And over time, I started to have more and more clients who wanted to come back and they wanted to explore more of their pre-life commitments. And so they may have spent a session or two with me dealing with an illness. And then they would say, I want to come back and devote a whole hour just to the Akashic Records and finding out, you know, all the plans I made for this incarnation, like in terms of my family, my relationships, you know, everything. And then I started doing what I called life purpose sessions. And so that got me to do more and more work with the Akashic Records. And so when I started teaching medical intuition, it made sense then to also teach Akashic Records, because some people are going to want to do that kind of work, right? To help people figure out what their gifts are, what their purpose is, and also to figure out the spiritual causes of illness. And so that's how I began teaching the Akashic Records. And I used to teach that in person, in these little kind of 3-hour workshops where I would teach people what the Akashic Records are and then lead them on a meditation. Now, I used to teach the Akashic Records by teaching several other people's methods, where I would say, oh, let's study Linda Howe and her prayer, that she uses to access the records. Let's study Ernesto Ortiz and his prayer and how he accesses the records. And then I would do the VEST method, and the VEST protocol was for me to lead people in a type of guided meditation to the records. And what my students kept saying was, we get more information through the VEST method, which makes sense, right? Because I am not Linda Howe or Ernesto Ortiz. So of course, I'm not gonna teach their method the way it should be taught. Like, you should take a class with them if you wanna learn their method. So it's probably kind of silly of me trying to teach them, but that's kind of my academic background, right? Let me expose you to all the methods. before I finally started teaching, okay, this is my method. And so now what I've done is I've created an on-demand medical intuition course where I've just kind of condensed all that information that I was teaching in my classes and all my experiences as a medical intuitive. And I created this really intensive course online for medical intuition that you can just take whenever you want. And then I also created a Akashic Records course. I just created that recently to help people to learn how to visit the Akashic Records. And that course has several meditations that you can do over and over again. You have lifetime access, and you can go through that experience and just keep going to the records and getting information about your purpose, your gifts, your different patterns in your life. I also decided to create a class on All About Auras, because when I was teaching healing, spiritual healing, intuitive healing, Reiki, and also when I was teaching psychic development and mediumship, the one thing that all of those courses had in common, and medical intuition, is that it really helps if you can perceive the aura. And so I thought, let me create this little course on how to perceive the aura that people can use in all of these fields. You know, if you're a healer, if you're a medical intuitive, if you're a psychic, you can always benefit from being able to see an aura, feel an aura, right? And get information from someone's aura. So I created a little course on All About Auras that teaches, all the different ways you can perceive the aura and different exercises you can use. And so I have those three courses that I now just offer on my website as on-demand classes that people can take anytime. And I wanted to explain, why I decided that those classes were the ones I wanted to teach. Basically, I teach what I do, and I teach what I do that's in alignment with my purpose, right? Because I came to help people remember who they really are, develop their gifts, become healers, so that they can help other people get better, develop their gifts, and get clarity in the purpose, right? And this all has to do with the shift in consciousness. And so everything that I teach is a direct consequence of, what I came to do. And so I developed those classes on my website, and something I've been doing over the last year is I started teaching live online courses for the Shift Network. And this helped me to reach a different audience. My online courses on my website, they reach people all over the world, because I've always had clients and students all over the world. And the Shift Network classes also allow me to reach people all over the world. And so last year I taught a class on Indigenous medical intuition, where I taught medical intuition and I taught very explicitly from my Indigenous backgrounds. And then I taught an advanced Indigenous medical intuition course. And this year I am teaching two other courses. And the first one, which is starting this week, is on soul growth and psychic development. And this course is basically the course I was teaching for years, the Conscious Psychic Develop Your Sixth Sense course, that's just kind of been collected into a really concentrated form, because it's a 7-week course. It's 2 hours each class, where there's, you know, an hour and a half of, you know, lecture and questions and meditation and journeys, and then the last half hour is where you get into breakout groups to practice. And I'm really excited about this course because this has been my passion, right, since I started teaching. Right? The first class I taught, Conscious Psychic, right? Shifting your consciousness and developing your gifts, because these two things should go hand in hand, right? As you develop your gifts, your consciousness shifts. As you shift your consciousness or expand your consciousness, you will notice gifts appearing, right? You will notice that gifts start coming on board. And so these two things really go together. And so I'm going to be teaching that class starting May 2nd on Thursday. It goes for 7 weeks. The class is taught live Thursday afternoons, but if you can't catch it live, you can watch the recordings. And so that class is coming soon. And then later on in this year, I'm teaching a really extensive training. It's going to be 18 weeks, which is like a semester, right? Semester-long course on the Shift Network, which is going to be on medical mediumship and medical mysticism. And it's really medical intuition, medical mediumship, and medical mysticism. And so this is for, you know, anyone interested in medical intuition. And I'm excited because I'm going to get to go into real depth into all these different forms of medical intuition that I have developed over the years and really kind of systematized and reflected on and figure out, you know, how to teach them. And what's nice about that course, the 18-week training, is that it's going to line up with the book that I'm working on now on the medical mystic, where I talk about medical mysticism. And medical mysticism is where you are able to communicate really on a very high level with high-level beings and get information that's of importance, not to just individuals, but to like whole groups or communities or to the whole planet. And I was able to use medical mysticism during the pandemic, for example, to get some information that I shared on this podcast about COVID and about different healthcare trends. Or like the episode I just did a couple of episodes ago where I talked about, actually the last episode on Psychic Kids, where I talked about the new generation and the changes in the brain. So that's an example of, you know, medical mysticism, where you're getting information that's not just for a client, but it's for a whole population. So I'm really excited about that course too. So anyway, that was just, I wanted to tell that story of, you know, how I came to teach what I teach. I was trained by so many people for so many years. I started getting training, you know, as a 2-year-old. I've been continuing to get teachings my whole life. And when I'm called to, I start teaching what I know. I don't know what my next course is going to be. In terms of the courses available on my website. But right now I have these two live courses coming up. And then, you know, I'm always open to suggestions, but, you know, usually it's the case that Spirit comes along and says, okay, it's time for you to teach this. So that's what I do. That's why I teach, and that's why I'm focused on teaching right now. I get a lot of emails from people asking about client sessions, and I just have to keep telling people, well, right now it's about books and courses, And so, yeah, that's my story. If you have any questions, you know, post them in the comments. Some reminders. I have a Patreon account. You can find me on Instagram at Spirit Teacher. I'm also on TikTok under the Ethical Psychic. My website is drvestmedicalintuitive.com. I look forward to hearing from you all. And until next time, this has been Journal of a Medical Intuitive. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Lisa Vest. And we'll see you next time.